Ladies and gentlemen, this is podcast number 5. That was what I was going for. Thank you for listening. This is Prioritizing Married Couples, faith-based insight into what is most important in marriage, in education, and in life. And we are that married couple, Samantha and Michael Pryor. Good evening.
Good evening.
Samantha and I have a real treat for you tonight. Now, we've touched a lot on education in the past, and we'll do a quick recap before we jump into today's podcast, but Samantha loves recapping. But today we're going to touch more on the marital aspect of life. I know we kind of touch on marriage briefly at the beginning and the end of our shows. We talk about our Navigator's Journal that we've been doing, and we'll touch on that momentarily as well. But today, we want to devote our entire podcast to marriage. But before we do that, we're going to do a quick recap. Last episode, To Sir With Love. Samantha's falling asleep over there. She hates doing the recap. She wants to just get to it. But I think it's fair to tell you all what's going on so we can always jump backwards. You can always jump backwards. You can find all those previous podcasts on our webpage. To Sir With Love, Samantha. Greatest movie ever?
Not quite, but definitely worth a watch.
Right. And Murdoch from MacGyver is in it. So definitely worth a watch. Check it out. Powerful movie. Good message. Bad acting. Is that fair?
Yeah,
that's
very
a good.
Fair.
I think that was the tagline of the movie. Powerful message. Worse acting. To Sir With Love. That's podcast number 4. This is podcast number 5, Making Time for Your Spouse. Okay, we've gotten a lot of requests on Facebook and on Twitter of both educational ideas and marital ideas. From this one comes from a couple ideas come from Colleen out in this one's coming from Texas. No, I'm just kidding. I'm making it seem like we have a really big fan base. But that's actually Colleen, my sister, had said how to fight would be a neat podcast for us to cover. And that'll be something we touch on in the future. And instead of talking about it, we're actually just going to fight through an entire podcast. That'll be one we'll touch on at some point. Another one someone had mentioned was compromising. But I think this podcast will touch a lot on compromising, but we won't spoil that topic entirely. We'll touch on that another time. Tonight, making time for your spouse. Samantha, how do we make time for each other?
Well, sometimes life just gets really busy and crazy, and especially this year, it's been more challenging having you leave before 5 every morning and get home at 7:30 or 8 every night. It's been a big adjustment from driving into work together every day and working in the same school and being able to pop in one another's classrooms and just say hello to having you work almost 2 hours away. So I think there's a lot of different ways you can make time for each other and always just go into every day with the intention to do something kind or to give your undivided attention to your spouse, especially when time is so limited. But even when it's not, it's equally as important to have your focus solely on your husband or your wife. And one thing that comes to mind is a shout out to my parents. But growing up, they always had a date night once a week. And now it wasn't always hiring a babysitter. It was as simple as going out on the porch and saying, no one's allowed to come out unless someone's hurt, crying, or dying. And
that sounds like a nice household to grow up in.
But for 1 hour, even 1 hour on a Friday night, it was a chance for them to sit down and talk. And I think a lot of what we learn can be taken with a grain of salt through the examples in our lives and through our experiences. Everyone can learn what they want to bring into their own marriage and traditions they want to carry over.
I think it's, after hearing what you say all that, Samantha, particularly the beginning, is it fair to say that you broke one of the cardinal rules of marriage and you took our time together for granted, Samantha?
I definitely did, and that's not something I would have necessarily admitted right away. Michael and I used to joke about what was quality time and what wasn't. He's under the impression that sleeping next to each other every night is quality time, which it's definitely cherished time. But a perfect example would be driving to work together in the morning as quality time. And that's something I definitely took for granted and miss very much this year.
To catch listeners up, for those of you that don't know already, We used to work together in the same school, 5 minutes from where we lived, 10 minutes, and we get to ride to school together every morning to and from work, and that was always a good way to start our day and a great way to end our day as far as work goes. But now I work 40 miles away and Samantha still is at the same school, so we don't have that luxury anymore. And to quote my mother here, she always used to say, "You're gonna miss me when I'm gone." And as true as that rings right now, it's something that you can apply to even the smallest situations. Like, Samantha's gonna miss me when we're not riding to school together anymore. And she does, I think.
I do very, very much.
And I miss it too. I mean, I'm not just gonna say it's all her. She misses me. But you mentioned date nights. Now, how do we go about date nights? Should they be scheduled? How do we do this?
I think they should be scheduled, which is probably one of our bigger struggles as a married couple, is because I love to plan and I like to have an idea of what's happening when, very much so I can look forward to it. And Michael hates to have a plan with certain things and likes to just see how they'll unfold, see how the day goes, what we're in the mood to do. which is sometimes more challenging for me, but it has certainly...
Frustrating would be a better word, I think, than challenging, Samantha. Now, I'm going to cut my beautiful wife off and give you a quick history, because I think it's relevant. Samantha is the oldest of four children. She's the oldest. I am the youngest of nine children. For those of you that haven't gotten into birth order very much and don't know the dynamics of many scenarios of birth order, typically they say the oldest is the planner, is the type A, is the wants to control the husband. Oh no, never mind. That wasn't it. I'm only kidding. And the youngest is more the fly by the seat of the pants and do whatever, go with the flow. And I think that's a minus the controlling part, of course. I think it's fair descriptions of the both of us, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. Even starting out dating, bringing it back just a little bit further, Michael was 17 and I was only 14. And our parents and supervision was definitely a big adjustment too. I had to call when I left somewhere. I had to call when I arrived. I had to call when we left again. Whereas Michael's parents just let him do whatever he wanted. And
but now, before we go raining on my parents here.
Oh, I'm not.
And I know you're not. But it needs to be clear again, going back to the youngest of nine, they had been through eight other children and eight different, very different personalities. It's fair to say that I earned that trust, I guess you could say.
Definitely. And you were 3 years older than I was, and my parents were going through that for the very first time, their oldest daughter dating someone
who's 17, had a leather jacket, smoked Marlboro Reds,
and long hair.
And I did have long hair, sadly. It was grotesque, and I apologize for that.
The pictures are great.
To anyone who's ever seen me in that state, I am profoundly apologetic. But you mentioned making a schedule, so you're making a schedule of your date nights. Let's say every Sunday is date night. What does that entail? How do you go about, as a married couple, how do you decide? Like, what if the husband always wants to do this and the wife always wants to do this? What is that word?
Well, compromise, but I think it's more than compromise. It's finding something that is enjoyable, if not to the both of you, but to your spouse. So you can alternate planning them. Michael and I have done that as well, where I'll plan one and he'll plan next week's. You can also, it's really fun to do something that you both have never done before and to try something new. If you hate it, it will end up being a good story. Or do something different. It's not always things that have to cost money either, because I know you don't always have the funds to go out and spend $75 on a dinner, or movie tickets have gotten really expensive. But there's a ton of websites and Pinterest ideas for free date nights, ones that involve staying in or going out. So even just putting a little thought in beforehand, the possibilities are endless.
Just to go to give you some ideas of what some free date nights look like, We, for our wedding shower, I believe it was, we had a wedding shower. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of folks pitch some ideas to us. They'd fold up a piece of paper, put it in a jar. They call it the date night jar. And anytime we were bored on a Friday or Saturday night, we could dip into the date night jar and reach in and pull out whatever the suggestion said we would do. So to give you a couple, I have two in mind. One was from our 8-year-old second cousin, whose recommendation was go play. We still have not acted on that date night. And the other was to lay in the grass and observe the clouds and recognize their shapes or something to that
nature.
And we haven't done that one yet either. Sadly, it's been gray skies over wherever I am since we've been married. So sorry to that one. That one won't be happening. Although we love the suggestions, it's just funny to go through and kind of think of what's our thing and what we wouldn't do necessarily. And you mentioned doing it for your spouse. I like the idea too of we always have the most fun when we're both kind of trying something new. We've gotten big into the escape the room games. You're locked in a room and you gotta find a way out by matching together all the clues. Another thing too, as of late we started taking an interest in murder mystery parties.
Oh, they've been so fun. We hosted one for Halloween 1 year, and it was a prohibition theme where we had themed food and decorated the house in 1920s. Clothing was worn, and the way it worked was each person got a series of cards and an invitation that gave them a persona, and they had objectives they had to accomplish throughout the night. It was just a great time.
Yeah, and those are just a few examples. Something I would never have guessed I'd be doing, but it really turned out to be a great night. Isn't that fair to say?
Yeah, and we're looking forward to doing one again sometime.
The one thing that I really want to touch on, this is more so from my perspective, because I, a lot of times, especially lately now with grad school and this new position, I'm leaving the house at 5:15. And getting back from work and playing my ball games. I'm getting back sometimes at 9 o'clock.
Sometimes later.
Yeah. So the question then is, or the easy excuse would be, well, how do we make time for each other? We have such busy lives. That is true. So I'm going to throw that one over to my better half there. You know, that excuse can be used over and over again. But how do we avoid using that excuse, Samantha?
I think, not to sound harsh or anything, but sucking it up and supporting one another and finding that common time together, whether it's me going with you to your games and watching you play, or you driving here first to pick me up before we go do something to carpool together. It's really easy to get suckered into living those separate lives, but that's where I find it concerning, is when we fall into those trends.
Yeah, and we can dictate, If I feel that my ball games and my work is more important than my marriage, then I think it's safe to say that I'm not prioritizing. Wouldn't you say that, Samantha?
Yes, I would.
The long and short of this is that everyone essentially has a busy life, and we can let that excuse dictate our relationship with our spouses, or we can control it and still get the output and the result that we want.
Exactly. And I think going into each day, I mentioned before, with an intention to focus on your spouse. And those little things are so important to do. And just going out of your way, whether it be leaving a note for them in the morning or on their car, giving them a call during the day or a text just to say, thinking of you, or I know you had this going on. It just shows them that they're a priority.
I'm laughing because it's funny. I know we're speaking from experiences, but I thought you would at least, you know, what are the some things that I do for
well,
you?
Well, today Michael just brought me home flowers.
Those were all things that Samantha does fairly regularly. And I know she didn't, but it was just funny to me. Yeah, I brought Samantha home some flowers.
Beautiful and flowers.
And a secret, and please don't tell Samantha this, but on the way out of school today, one of the teachers asked said, we have some leftover flowers. Would you want some to take home to your wife? I shrugged and sure. So that's...
And it doesn't matter where they come from. Again, some things will cost money. Some things will be free. There's many occasions where Mike will bring me home flowers, and the men selling them on the side of the street right by our house makes for a great opportunity. But that's not only... That isn't the only nice thing he does. He goes above and beyond to do tasks for me around the house. He's always looking for ways to make my life easier.
Now, you can't see me right now, but my hand is firmly around Samantha's neck, making sure that she says all these good things that I'm doing. I have a list of cue cards in front of her of things to say.
Right.
Yeah, I'm only kidding. But to be perfectly honest and sincere, Samantha loves the things that cost most money. Want me to get rid of that?
No, you don't have to get rid of it. Right. No, not necessarily, but...
Oldest of four, youngest of nine. Big difference.
Yeah, big difference. And I just appreciate a variety of different things. I wouldn't say it has to cost a lot of money, but there are certainly things I like a nice Tory Burch bag that...
I have a feeling this episode is going to segue directly into how to fight, because I feel it coming already.
Yeah.
Now, Samantha, quick question for so all our viewers know.
Okay.
I am thinking of buying you, I found this great pair of shoes from Value Village, the secondhand store. They're beautiful. Samantha, would you wear those?
Nope. Sorry. I am all for thrift stores, which is something that when we first started out dating, and even in the first few years of our beginning of our marriage, it wasn't always something I was very comfortable with. Not that there's anything against it. It just wasn't something I was ever exposed to growing up. We never went to different thrift stores, and Michael has brought me into that world. And I have to say, half the stuff in my closet and my most favorite pieces of clothing are things that I've gotten at different thrift stores, but I will draw the line at shoes.
Okay, fair enough, Samantha. No shoes for you. The point we're trying to make, ultimately, is that these date nights are meant to keep the spark alive in the marriage, and especially with young couples. I mean, it's easier for us to say we've been married nearly 3 years. We haven't been married super long, but I think a lot of folks can get into the habit of coasting, and, oh, we have a kid now, he has a busy job, she has a busy job, he stays home, or she's too busy, what have you. If we let those excuses catapult in front of the love that we both vowed to uphold, then those things will take a permanent priority over our marriage, and the marriage will just keep dropping farther and farther down the priority rung, and eventually, you know, that rung is only so long, and hopefully it doesn't fall off the bottom.
Yeah, I completely agree, Michael, and I think an important thing to keep in mind is as we're going through these things is that what works for one couple isn't going to work for another, and that it's really to make decisions that are unique to your relationship and that are going to best serve your happiness and keeping, as you said, keeping that spark alive, but keeping the laughter going and enjoying each other's company, putting the cell phones away, not having them with you.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen, sister.
And then just that undivided attention, keeping that conversation very much present.
And I should say, too, that Samantha is really great about these date nights because she knows we did the five love languages study.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you haven't done it, you should really look into it.
It recognizes which language of love you speak the most. There are acts of kindness is one language. Physical touch is another. Quality time is the third. Words of affirmation is the fourth. And gifts. Gifts?
Mm-hmm.
Gifts is the fifth. And it was a close three-way tie for the bottom of mine, least important. But I know quality time was not of super importance for me.
It was dead last.
And I think just growing up, I'd play in the woods by myself. I'd play with my action figures by myself. And I did a lot of things with my family, don't get me wrong. but there were always opportunities for me to be by myself, and I just didn't mind it. And but Samantha knows that that's my least of all the languages. So a lot of the times when she plans dates, she will meet me halfway and kind of pick something that she knows I will like to do. But the quality time is something that she loves, naturally being her number one, sadly for me. So I need to up my game and make sure that I'm meeting her needs and saying, okay, she likes to be the quality time. I have to suck it up, like Samantha said, and spend some time with my wife. Torture. Oh, the horror.
And one thing that the love language philosophy really focuses on is that naturally we give and receive love the way we want to have it. And there's many different ways. For me, acts of service is not as important.
Acts of service would be like doing nice things.
Yeah, well, not doing nice things, but I value it and I appreciate it, but what really will get through to me and make me feel happy and loved will be spending time together, or words of affirmation and hearing kind words, or holding my hand, which is another thing that just...
Samantha, don't let her fool you. Samantha's number one was gifts.
No, it wasn't.
There's
it
actually
really
six
wasn't.
Love languages. There's gifts and there's expensive gifts.
Oh my gosh,
Samantha
stop.
Is...
stop it.
I'm like kidding. But we do our best to make sure we're not speaking our language to the other person, because quality time, although it's my last, I know it's Samantha's first, so I gotta do something.
And it's something that we still struggle with all the time. I mean, yeah. I go through phases where I'm like, oh, I really gotta be better at focusing on what Mike needs and not what I'd like to see happen, or being more intentional with my
actions. Or vice
versa,
of course. Yeah. But same goes for me. But Samantha knows, and she still does it. Sometimes she'll, and I don't say this in a bad way, opening up a gift, you know, when things aren't going well in my life or I'm down in the dumps for whatever reason. That's a great gesture. Doesn't necessarily do a whole lot, but it's
for you.
Yeah, like a gift. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is nice. But you know,
I've transitioned to buying Michael Chick-fil-A dinner now anytime I want to buy him a gift.
Love Chick-fil-A. not an official sponsor yet, but love Chick-fil-A dinner. Check it out. New Yorkers, I know some of you are listening. There are no Chick-fil-A's up there, but we're working on it. You still have, what do we have, McDonald's up there. That's the closest thing to Chick-fil-A. Wait till you taste it. You're going to love it. And eat more chicken.
I think, too, Michael, going back to what we were talking about and getting off the Chick-fil-A bandwagon for just a second, there are a lot of ways to make your date nights a priority. And they don't even have to be super long. It could just be a half hour that you decide to talk or focus on something that will bring you closer together, rather than just doing an activity side by side and not allowing it to bring you closer to one another, but also closer to God. Michael just drew a cartoon. Okay. Clearly very caring about what I'm saying. So anyway, I mentioned earlier that there are a lot of resources out there. And for anyone who's interested, there's this one website that I've gone to a bunch called The Dating Divas, which I know, don't start laughing at Michael,
what?
But it has a ton of really great free activities that you can do. They even have a date night calendar, or a love calendar, I forget what they call it. But once a month, it's just a PDF, and it gives you things you can do for your spouse, a small thing each day. And that just can help, you know, reignite some of that excitement, and it gives you the ideas firsthand. So for those of you that are thinking, oh, I'm not really sure what I could do, or I don't want to do the same thing over again, or it won't be special, it still will be, even getting it from a different source. There's a ton of excellent ideas out there that have been enjoyable.
You heard it here first, folks. The Dating Divas.
Again, not an official sponsor.
Dating Divas. Guess
no,
what site?
But there's a lot on there. And then there's different games and different... They have holiday-themed date nights. They have scavenger hunts. There's a ton of stuff that you can do. And then you can just print the accessories to go with it. So if you have date night cards, they have it all pre-made for you.
I'm going to be honest here. I've been, the past 30-ish seconds, she said dating divas. I was trying to think of something that could be like the opposite for men. I came up with mating, but nothing would be that funny.
The website,
this stuff comes to me quicker, so I'm really bummed that I still can't think of anything, and I'm kind of stalling right now to think of something funny, but I'm out. So I lost that one. Dating divas, folks, it's really neat and cool. Check it.
Yeah, you should. And Pinterest is another great resource where there are a lot of activities you can do.
Both are valuable resources. Check them out. If you have plenty of ideas already in the think tank of what you and your spouse can do together, then use those. But the point is, spending time together should be at the top of your list, if you're prioritizing correctly, of course. So that is all for us. Next week, next Thursday, don't ask us what, just be there. Thursday, Samantha and I will be there. Isn't that right, Samantha?
We will be.
We will be. That's all we got. Quality time, folks. Making time for your spouse. Do it.